Oh, they're all going to get canceled. It's the news. Just got canceled, according to me. Good morning, folks. It's Monday morning. Hey, turn the music down. I'm talking here. It's Monday morning. It's Monday, July 25th. July's almost over. Summer's about gone. So if you haven't done anything yet this summer, you need to get out there and do it. If you haven't got the yard mowed yet this summer, it's time. If you can find your mower amongst all the weeds, like my house is. The time is 8:29, almost 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It is, I'm late today. I was up late last night. I was up later the night before and just couldn't pry myself out of bed. I think I got up at 8 o'clock and I was the first one. Even the dogs were like, they were just laying there like, please don't wake us up. We don't want to have to go outside. Of course, part of that's because when it's raining or thunderstorming, one of them has a really hard time going outside. The other one just kind of doesn't like to get wet. The other one's just scared of storms. They have issues because they were both rescued from situations that were pretty bad. So everybody calls any kind of dog adoption, when you go to the pound or wherever you go, they call it a rescue. Well, you rescued them from what? I mean, sometimes they're rescued from a kill shelter or that kind of thing, or they were rescued from a rescue. But prior to that, they may not have necessarily had a bad life. Well, it's dog's life, you know. Sit around, sleep, go out and pee, come back. Somebody puts food in their bowl. Pretty much like a Democrat. The biggest thing that you notice about all this stuff is that people start to pay attention to what's in my cup. And this morning I have, I am really in a rut here. I've got chai, once again, with Cinnabon Creamer. I think it's a Cinnabon Creamer that I'm kind of addicted to, apparently, because I'd have no other drink I can put that in. I guess I could make hot chocolate, but I can't drink much chocolate anymore. The Swiss Miss hot chocolate stuff apparently has some kind of a nerve agent or something in it. I'm not sure I don't know what's got in it. It makes my left eye twitch. I started drinking it last week again. I drank two of them, two cups, 2 days in a row. One of them was that dark chocolate stuff. And, sure enough, by day three, my left eye started twitching on me. I can eat candy bars. I can eat chocolate bars. I can eat chocolate cake. I can eat all that stuff. Doesn't make my eye twitch. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Something is in that stuff. In the news. What's going on in the news? I really don't have a show today, folks. So if you don't want to listen to a non-show, which is pretty much every day, I guess every day I have no show. When I first start the show, I don't have a show. It's just me rambling, which is what you got right now. Just me rambling about no show. Rambling about me rambling. Now it's devolved into just rambling about rambling. There's not even rambling about anything, you know, that you want. It's vaguely interesting. It's just me rambling. I just probably lost 3,000 people. They probably just tuned out. Probably just shut. Good, now that they're gone. I have my loyal followers here. Now we can talk about the real business of what's going on out there. I have in my repertoire of things on my list, if you look at it, just do an experiment here. Take a blank sheet of paper. Take a look at that blank sheet of paper. Just hold it up in front of you. I'll take a moment for you to get that. Let me take a sip of my chai here while you get a blank piece of paper. You got it? You got it there for you? Now take a look at that piece of paper. You are staring at my notes for this show this morning. That's what you're looking at. Hopefully there's no... Now, if you put a few cat hairs and some dog hairs on there, that would be even more accurate. Because I think everything in my house is covered with some kind of dog hair, cat hair. Whatever else. Occasional spider. I have a A couple of things I want to talk about, though. I was listening to Mark Dice this morning. He put out a thing about cancellations and the whole. And you know, in listening to that, I just once again you realize that these people are fascists. And the strange defenders sometimes that there are against the left are the ones that you would think would be the most radical left. Bill Maher, for instance. He used to have a show called Politically Incorrect. I don't know what his show's called now. I don't know what it's called now. I'm sure he can't call it Politically Incorrect because, you know, he'd be canceled. They were talking about this lady was on his show, and he played this little clip about Alex Jones. This lady said something about Alex Jones is being canceled. Or maybe it was actually Bill that said it. Alex Jones is being canceled. He's being kicked off Twitter. And this lady on his panel there, his little discussion panel, said, "Thank God." And everybody clapped. Now, when you stop and look at this, okay, well, it's a private business. It can do what it wants. Yeah, but this private business, look at it this way. If this person was in charge of the world, because this is their little world, it's their little virtual world that they live in, and what they don't deem to be proper, not that he's vulgar, not that anything, he's spreading conspiracy theories. Misinformation. It's just speech that you don't like. And Bill makes this comment. He goes, free speech, what free speech is speech that you don't like. That's why it has to be free speech. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a need for that. If everybody agreed with everybody and everybody liked everybody else's speech, then there wouldn't be a need for the free speech part of the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment. The point is, you have the right to speak. Now, people will say, well, but he has the right to speak. He just doesn't have the right to speak on that platform. They don't want him on their platform. Well, then they've become editors then. They need to be accountable like anybody else for everything that anybody says on that platform. Apparently, they are the curators now, the editors of that platform. When you have a free and open platform, look at the platforms that are free and open. You can go on Gab and say whatever you want. You can go on Parler and say whatever you want. I mean, you can't do illegal things. You can't talk about, you can't post child pornography. You can't post things about violence. I mean, in terms of, criminal violence. You can't do criminal things on there. Okay, they're trying to criminalize all this, hate speech and all that. But hate speech is what, you say something and you had hate in your heart for it, any kind of racist comment. Unfortunately, not that I agree with any of this, and Bill Maher makes it very clear, I don't agree with Alex Jones, but he has the right to speak. And these people who are in charge of their little world are the fascists. They are the leftists. And guess what? They're the ones canceling people off of their platform because they don't like what they're saying. Look at the way they canceled Donald Trump, President of the United States. There were people who wanted to cancel his phone. They wanted to knock his phone out because he was using an Android system. And the people from Android wanted to knock him out. Well, we don't want him using our platform. He's a monster. This is the kind of stuff that this is where it will go. This is where we are going. We're on a very fast-moving bus here, folks. And like I've said before, those of us who are against that kind of thing are in a defensive posture. Now, defense, unfortunately in this kind of situation, you've always heard that the best defense is a good offense. Even in military tactics, what do they call it? It's a preemptive strike. In other words, you're the one who does the strike first because it's preemptive to stave off the imminent attack from your enemy. So you hit him in the knees, basically. Pull a Kerrigan. So the idea is there's an imminent attack coming here. We need to pull the rug out from under them before they get here. Disable them before they get here. Well, we still have a chance. That is a preemptive strike. And that is a good part of defense. We didn't invoke this. We didn't provoke this. It looks like we did, but they're the ones who are on the offensive here. And we have to shut them off before they get that offensive help. I'm not just going to sit around. You don't just sit around and wait for somebody to punch you in the head before you punch back. You see somebody's fist getting balled up and they're starting to throw their shoulder. You know it's coming. It's when you give them the quick snap to the nose. Set them off a little bit. Because it's you know, now we're ready to rumble. So I have a that's kind of my big thing this morning is this whole thing about fascism and the leftists. And of course, this all comes back to my pet peeve, and everybody knows what it is. Go ahead and say it out loud. The Democratic Party is not democratic. There's nothing democratic about the Democratic Party. I should say that there's nothing democratic about the Democrat Party. Democratic candidate. No, Democrat candidate. It's a Democrat candidate, not a Democratic candidate. They're not for democracy. Democratic is a process, which they care nothing of. This is my rant this morning. I'm on a Monday morning rant already all this morning. Apparently, Joe Biden, I would guess by the end of this month, I think his popularity, his approval rating, I think they go by the average. They always go by the average in polling. Well, the main polls that are really the most trustworthy have him down like 31% now, approval rating. But what they do is they come out with all these other polls that they jack with, and then that. Well, he's at 40% over here, so let's make it 36%. We'll just round it up to 36%. That's his average. His average approval rating right now. They mess with these polls all the time. However, what they've done is in this next week, I think even those pollsters who are continuing to push him up. I mean, even Jill Biden is even getting harassed and heckled now. When she was walking into a building the other day, and somebody from like a half a block away goes, "Your husband's the worst president we've ever had. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Thank you." I don't even know if I should wade into this or not. There's an issue with Jill Biden's voice. I hate to go here because it delves into a, how I say, it's kind of a pseudoscience thing. There's been a lot of evidence that people who speak a certain way have a certain intonation to their voice. Have had issues in the past, and certain things have happened to them in the past. They've been victims of certain things, and I don't want to delve into this too far. I have been around a lot of people, worked with a lot of people, a lot of different people, in very close, intense situations, not really necessarily intense, like dramatic. Well, some of them become dramatic, but it's just high pressure situations. And you get to know people very quickly, at least on a surface level. To some degree, you kind of find out a lot about them real quick. And my experience is that this has been this theory. On this vocal thing, for those of you who know me, you know that I do a lot of voiceover work. I read stuff and I read it out loud, and then I record that, So much like I'm doing right now. I'm not reading anything. This is just me talking, which is the way I like it to be. Reading stuff, it's just, you know, just somebody else's ideas on paper. For me, it's this is just my brain opening up and just spilling it out. And so you become very attuned to certain people's voices. I know of certain voiceover artists that when I hear them on an advertisement or something on the radio or on a advertisement of some kind, I can say, oh, that's, you know, that's Bill DeWeese, or that's whatever, whoever it is, I recognize their voice. And you know, you become very attuned to that, or sometimes it's just the same artist. You'll hear a vocal artist, a voiceover person who's done an advertisement for somebody, and then you hear another advertisement for some other product, and it's the same person. There's this one lady right now who's just killing it. She's got four or five different major clients right now that she's been doing advertisements for. Now, unfortunately, people can overspill their oversaturate themselves, and they burn out really quickly. What happens is, advertising marketing, they want a fresh voice, and the reason they need a fresh voice, they can't just use the same voice all the time. Everybody used to use Don LaFontaine in the day to do movie trailers. He was the guy before the internet. Well, before anything was popular with the internet, he was out there doing. He would get up in the morning. A limo would show up at his door. He would get in the limo. He would go from one production studio to the next. This guy was making $1 million a year before $1 million a year was what you needed to survive. It was minimum wage. He was making a lot of money. He was the guy you always heard on all the voice trailers. In a world where one man living in a land before time. He was that guy. And he did it very well. Now, unfortunately, we lost him, I think, about 10 years ago. Maybe more than that. Everything seems like it was five. Anything that seems like it was long ago is like 5 or 10 years ago. Even though, you know, back in the 90s, seems like it was 5 or 10 years ago. And it was 20. It's hard for me to understand, to get, you know, you start losing touch with that whole thing of long time ago. It was a long time ago. But for me, it was just yesterday. Stuff that happened in the 80s and 90s just seems like it wasn't that long ago. To me, I don't know why. It's just because I guess I remember it like it was yesterday. And then, you find out, oh yeah, you start doing the math on that. Oh yeah, it's 2022 now. That was 40 years ago. Huh. That was a long time. It was half my life ago. Probably more than, whatever. I become very attuned. Just people in this business, they recognize people's voices. I got on the radio one time. I called in to a radio station one time to make a comment. And a friend of mine who was listening, hadn't talked to him for a long time, who also happened to be in, he was in music recording, but he was in the vocal thing. And he called me right after I got off the radio. I just heard you on the radio. How'd you know it was me? Well, I recognize your voice. Oh. Did you recognize me bumping the microphone with my cup, with the chai and the creamer stuff in it? So anyway, this guy heckles her, and she, you know, she comments back. Thank you for your support. It was a stupid response to that, in my opinion. Now, I'm not saying she's stupid. I'm just saying stupid is as stupid does. You did something stupid there. You should not have responded that way. In responding, however you want to respond, it's your business. But you know what? That just showed the lack of. Now, if that was Carrie Lake, for instance, first of all, she probably wouldn't have even acted like she heard him. Just ignore that. It doesn't merit a response. Somebody calls you a name, and this whole thing about names. I know that some people out there are. They get really concerned about words, things that are said about them. somebody I don't know says bad things about me, it has a different kind of, it doesn't have much of an effect on you. If it's someone that I know and trust and have a, you know, like say my mother were to say something bad about me, that'd be very painful. Because what my mother says matters. If it's someone who you respect and look up to and trust, and they say something derogatory or behind your back, you find out they've been doing something, that kind of thing is hurtful, not because of the words themselves are hurtful. It's because of the relationship you thought you had now is, it's a stab in the back kind of thing emotionally. And yeah, it affects you. It certainly affects you. But if anybody else would have said that, it wouldn't have had the impact. It wouldn't have had anything, you know, it just went off your back. Now, most normal people care a little bit about what people think about them. It's you know, we want to be liked. We want to be, you know, socially connected. Most people, not everybody. There are some people who have social disorders. I'll just put it that way. And they you know, they don't, it's not important at all to them. You can say whatever you want, anybody in the world. Sometimes that is caused by, again, they've shut themselves off because of certain painful situations that they've been in, and so they just choose to put up their defense and put themselves in a little jail, and that way they built the walls around themselves so they're insulated, supposedly, from all that. But then they also have struggle with, you know, any kind of emotional, I guess, you know, there's all kinds of issues going on there. But this is not the psychology show. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a epidemiologist or a virologist. I'm just a guy with a microphone who has no idea what he's talking about. So they have Dr. John Campbell. I listened to him over the weekend as well. He was talking about the BA5 rampant transmission right now. It is out there everywhere. Of course, now Joe Biden has it. Nobody's giving an update on his condition or his situation. Was he even seen outside or any place over the weekend? I don't know if there's any video clips of him doing anything over the weekend other than Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden is, again, under a lot of stress right now. The whole situation has become... I just pulled up some headlines. I don't like seeing headlines like this because I don't trust this kind of crap. They're saying that DeSantis now superseding Donald Trump in Republican polls. I doubt it. They're not comparing apples to oranges here, I don't think. I think that when you see this kind of thing, you have to look into the details of the poll. If you put DeSantis, if you polled Republicans, just Republicans, nobody messing around with the Republican, just Republicans, and you polled them and said, do you want Trump or DeSantis to run for president, or who would you vote for? I believe Trump would still win that kind of a show. There are, when they put these polls together, they'll throw other things in there, which divide up people. And the way you ask the question, too, is a whole other thing. Who do you think can win? Well, a lot of people think DeSantis can win because he's not as mean. He's more politicians. He's more polished in his communication, which he is. He would do a fine job. He would win. Don't get me wrong. If he was president, or if he ran for president, he would probably win. However, everyone thinks that Donald Trump is too controversial. He's too polarizing. Who did the polarizing? Who did all this stuff? Who caused this melee, this storm? You know, before he ran for president, the leftists loved him. He was a Democrat up until, you know, like a, what was it, 2010 or something, 2013? He was more of a leftist, and still has a lot of liberal policies in terms of spending and all some other things that are going on. But 99% of his policy, I agree with. And if you vote on because you know, maybe we know now, maybe we realize and recognize that policy is what affects our lives directly, like the price of gas. Mean tweets never caused me to, you know, choose between, you know, am I going to go here or there because I can't afford the gas? Or do I need to go out, when I go out to run an errand, do I need to, you know, do three other things before I do that one thing? Well, I got the car running. And you start the car and you start moving right away, so you're not, you know, you don't have time to let it warm up because it costs $10 to let it warm up. So we have this is the kind of stuff that, in my opinion, if DeSantis ran, all of a sudden, everything they would this is all they would say about him: Trump supporter, and Trump endorsed candidate, whatever it's going to be. Ron DeSantis, racist. His policies are racist. He's the, you know, no gay, can't say gay state. They're going to play this guy out to be a monster just as much, just as bad as Trump is. After all, Trump lives in Florida. So there you go. And I'm sure Russia is, you know, going to come into play here at some point. DeSantis being supported by Russia. It's a Russian hack. How in the world could DeSantis beat Joe Biden? You know, and here's the thing. I don't understand. If they have this machine that can bring out 9 million more votes, the most votes any candidate has ever received ever in the history of this country, at the same time that his opposing candidate, Trump, got more votes than any Republican Party candidate has ever gotten, ever in the history of this country as well. Now, it wasn't this is the amazing thing about this whole thing. We came up with, I think it was 13 million more people voted in this last election than ever voted, ever in the history of this country. Don't get me wrong, I don't have that stat in front of me. I'm speaking off the top of my head here because I'm trying to do the math in my head. Just millions and millions, ten million or more, I think, showed up to vote. Who didn't vote before, apparently. And they got most of them. Running a candidate from the basement. Somebody who didn't go out and have rallies. Well, they didn't vote for Biden. They voted against Trump. Well, okay then. Still, either way you look at it, their marketing campaign was genius. Why would they not want him to run again? If they knew in their hearts that many people came out to vote against Trump, I would think they would be begging him to run again, which they kind of did the first time. It kind of bit him in the butt. Some of those late-night talk show hosts who said, run, please do it. We don't want you to be president, but we do want you to run. Because they thought he was a joke. There was recently a reporter, I guess, from the New York Times, somebody who said that they were apologizing to Trump voters because they didn't recognize the reason he had so much support. Now, I'm going to say something that might be, I don't know, it might be considered a little vulgar. But I'm just repeating back what this guy said, what this guy wrote in his report. He said he wanted to apologize to Trump voters because he didn't recognize the reason that they were supporting him. And he didn't realize this until like less than a year ago. But now he understands because he's seeing what the establishment is doing. He's finally seeing this is just, you know, the GOP establishment, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, like the list goes on. There's apparently about 40 of them, at least, that are like hardcore establishment Republicans. Never Trumpers, I'll call them. individuals who are just two sides of the same coin. It's the Uniparty. One are fascists, the other one's fascist lights. Fascist light? Fascist light? Fascist light. I don't know. I talk for a living. So the thing about this is that he recognized all of a sudden, you know, sometimes people, we call them woke, but they're really not woke. They're really just numb. They're following their lemmings. They're following the crowd here with this, all this woke stuff. The people who are truly awakened to what's going on here understand that, hey, this is, whoa, this is fascism. We're crushing people, telling them they have to say this or they have to say that. Or if they don't go along with this agenda, guess what? You're canceled. Your social score, like what they have in China, is canceled, and now you can't get a bank account. You can't get a loan. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't buy food. You can't participate in your work group. We're going down that path. And the leftists love it. And they've convinced their little minions that this is the best way to do it because they get free stuff. They're using and abusing people by dividing up into groups and then saying they're going to protect this group or protect that group, going to give this group something and give that group something. Oh, well, you're not really in that group. And at the end of the day, they can put all these people together against a certain other group, and now you're pitting all those little groups against the problem group. So they're doing this stuff. And they have the media, legacy media, is on their side. Well, this guy apparently kind of woke up to this whole thing. I started realizing, hey, this is what the Trump supporters, and I've said this all along. The whole reason that Trump was so popular is because he was not part of the establishment. And this guy said it. This is the way he said it. I'm not quoting him directly, but this is the way he said it. It was the electorate giving the middle finger to the establishment. And that's exactly my point. It wasn't about him. They didn't vote for him because he's racist. They didn't vote for him because he does mean tweets. They voted for him because he was not an insider. He's a businessman. He's 24/7, all MSNBC and CNN did was just run this little clock. It's the only clock that ran faster than the death toll clock during the pandemic. It was Trump's lies. Well, it's day five of Trump's presidency, and he's told 3,472 lies. It was ridiculous. I did the math on it one time. I think it was a year into his presidency or 6 months into his presidency, and they had this like 13,000 lies that he'd told. They had a clicker that was going on. Brian Stelter, I think, always he was the one who always, every night, had a report on how many lies the president told. And when you do the math on that and you start dividing up, okay, the number of days and the amount of lies, it was like several hundred lies a day. Now, I don't know anybody on the planet that makes that many statements, like individual statements in a day, like original statements. I mean, if you told the same lie over five times a day, five, six times, seven or eight times, 10 times a day, okay. And I know some people that I've actually known some people who will do that. They'll repeat some kind of lie several times a day. It would be very, very obvious if a person was doing that. They were like over 100 times a day that Trump was lying. He didn't give 100 speeches a day. He wasn't recorded doing anything 100 times a day. I think it would be hard to even tell the same lie 100 times a day, but basically anytime he made a statement, they would just call it a lie and they'd move on. or they're just making, then here again, they were just making stuff up. It was just a bunch of baloney. And it's 10,000 lies today. He told, yeah. Okay, yeah. This coming from somebody who has a show called Reliable Sources, who has no source for this information. It just Reliable Sources is just anybody that we say, just anything we say. This is the kind of ridiculous knucklehead stuff that they do all the time. And we just sit back, people sit back and soak it in. There are people right now, S.E. Cup is one of them, or Coop, or whatever her name is. The left, if you look at some of the headlines coming out of MSNBC right now, their heads are exploding because they just believe thoroughly that they're, if anybody doesn't see right now that Trump is, he's a criminal. They've counted at least 17 laws that he's broken. The one that they're going to try to get him on is dereliction of duty now because he didn't call down the insurrection. Mark Levin last night made a really good comment. He said, if Trump would have been doing an insurrection here, if that would have been his thing, because that's what they're trying to get him on, is the whole insurrection, because that's part of the 14th Amendment. If any president or anybody runs for office who's tried to have an insurrection, guilty of an insurrection or whatever, or charged with certain kinds of crimes, they are not allowed to run for public office. So what they need to get him on is some kind of crime to keep him from running for office. Again, I come back to why. Why are you trying to keep this guy from running for office? You beat him handily by millions and millions of votes. Why are you so scared of him? Don't you think those people are going to show up again? Of course they're not. And if they lose the democracy. So through a democratic process, if you lose the election through a democratic process, you've lost your democracy. How does that happen? How does that work? Well, we have to abandon the principles of free market to save the free market. Oh, I see. It's kind of like that. Because your market is the one that matters. Your government is the one that matters. You being in charge is what matters. People are so disingenuous. So corrupt. So this is what's happened with Trump in this whole process. They've created this monster. Now they have to get him perp walked. Let's not pay attention to what's going on with Hunter Biden. Now they're finding out that he broke all kinds of federal laws. He wasn't registered to be a foreign agent. He wasn't all this kind of stuff. People have gone to jail for that stuff. When you look at what this particular Department of Justice and AG have done, Attorney General have done, how they can turn a blind eye to what Hunter Biden has done is unbelievable. Well, it's not when you understand Democrats in general. It's not unbelievable, actually. The Durham investigation apparently keeps going on, and it's been very quiet lately on the Durham scene. However, apparently, supposedly, Durham has gone much broader in his scope now, apparently. He's looking into a lot of other things because of some connections he's finding. Now, I'll tell you what, this guy's an independent counsel. He has no boss. Bill Barr cannot tell him what to do. Now, Bill Barr can call him up and chew him out, which he has done to other people, by the way. There was somebody doing an investigation behind the scenes of what happened in the 2020 election. Bill Barr called the man and chewed him out. The guy was either still working for CIA or he was working for, or he was had started his own firm, but he was formerly with the CIA or some kind of intelligence agency. Bill Barr called him and chewed him out for looking into this stuff, saying he was interfering with an investigation. No. Bill Barr wasn't conducting any investigation. Show us some paperwork, at least some filings to say that an investigation was underway there, Bill. What investigation did you actually do? And I've asked this question before. if Bill Barr, you know, Bill Barr comes out and says, well, we can't find any evidence on any kind of, you know, anything that's widespread election fraud. Oh, really? Where did you look? Who was the team you put on that? What was the budget for this investigation you did there, Bill? Can you show us some paperwork that's involving what exactly the scope of this investigation that you put out there? Who did you have in charge of it? I'm sure you weren't in charge of it. Who did you put in charge of that? Who was in charge of that division there? Who was looking into it, and how much time did they spend? What's the clock time on that? You think they're accountable for all this stuff? They're accountable to put into writing how much time they spend with whatever project they're working on. Let's see that. Let's just see that information there, Bill. Show us what's going on there. How in depth was it? There, like 5 days after the election, when you come out and you say that there was no evidence of any fraud, and now we're finding that there's evidence of fraud that common U.S. citizens are finding through Freedom of Information Act stuff. An entire documentary written on this. Well, just one aspect of that fraud. The mules thing was just one part of it. There was a whole lot more going on. And if you don't understand how many millions of votes came through because of this stuff, and they just, oh yeah, okay. You'd think that they'd be celebrating this, and they would have a president who was so popular right now because of how many millions of people voted for him. But no, if you say anything about that, you are the experiencer. The experiencer. You now coming to a theater near you. The experiencer. You're experiencing the work of fascism. You get canceled. You get kicked out, booted out. Because you have an opinion. Because you're asking questions. Because you question something that you cannot question. Oh, we're saying this is the way it is, and you can't question it. If you do, we're going to cancel you. We're going to take you everywhere. You have your misinformation. Really, just asking a question is misinformation now. These people these Republicans, these freaks who voted for this weird law whatever it was, the kind of bill that they voted for, said it was something to do with defining birthing people or whatever we're going to call it. It's just some kind of weird thing that they've done now. They're defining and accepting this whole agenda from the left. Is it Nancy Mace? Is that her? Macy? Or is it Macy? Miss Macy? Mace or Macy? Whatever her name is. I saw her on something. She was talking about the economy. She kept talking about basketball shoes. Well, when I go to fill up my tank and it costs me as much to fill up my tank as it costs for, you know, expensive set of basketball shoes for my son. Really? You're too bad for you. You don't feel that pain. She came up with this line. She said the line two or three times during this little interview. And first of all, I know you're not worried about buying basketball shoes for your son or lady. You've got a nice income. You're not concerned about that. You're not concerned about putting gas in your car. Somebody else probably does that for you anyway. So, not exactly sure what your issue is, lady, other than you found a little talking point. You found this little buzz thing you're going to put out there. You're going to talk about, because now all of a sudden you're an economy expert. You can't define what a woman is, which any five-year-old can do. But, you know, I'm not a biologist. Did you take biology in high school? Most people do. We talk about what's male and what's female. They're at the point now where they want to keep geologists from gendering the remains of people from, you know, ancestral remains or you know, any kind of geologist, did I say geologist? Archaeologist. From labeling anybody a particular gender just because they're a particular gender. Well, you don't know what they were. Yeah. So I'm curious, what do you call your mother? Do you call her birthing person? This is my birthing person. When you introduce this person to some your guests, when you bring your mother along with you to an event, do you say, this is my birthing person? Do you realize the insanity of this? And do you realize how important this stuff is going to be if we ever go to war? If we get attacked by someone, let's say nuclear bombs start falling. Let's say not even doesn't fall on our country. We just get an EMT or EMP, whatever it is, EMP. Bomb doesn't even actually hit the country. Just several of them go off, and when they knock out our grid, do you realize how all of a sudden none of this stuff matters? When you're struggling for food, when you're trying to just survive, when it comes back to the basics of life, trying to stay alive, that this stuff makes no difference whatsoever. And we're making this stuff into something that our military forces have to enforce. We have to do all this. It is the most ridiculous agenda I've ever seen on the planet. This is the kind of thing, in my opinion. See, Sodom and Gomorrah, there were some powerful armies there. They fell from within. Because they're morally just imploded. Rome, the same thing. To be great conquerors all over the world and fall apart from within. Because you kind of lose your moorings. And I'm afraid? I'm concerned. This nation is heading there. Well, so Kevin, what do we do? Well, we pray. And what do we pray for? Now, there's some debate about the Holy Spirit's job on the earth. Those who are not believers, Scripture is very clear, I think, on this. He comes to convict the world of sin. And I think that that's what we need. We need a true revival an outpouring of His Spirit that convicts the unbeliever of their sin. And there's another little scripture that comes to mind as well. It says, judgment begins in the house of God. We need to get our hearts turned back and embraced. With God once again as well, in the church, in the ecclesia, the believers, the body, not the institutions. It can start there. It can be there. But really, it's the heart of every individual. See, when Messiah told us about praying, he said, when you go to pray, pray in your closet. And your Father seeing what you've done, what you've done there in your closet, will reward you. Don't pray as the... Yeah, don't go up and make your prayers all, you know, shiny before people and you have no time. His thing was, you need to have that personal relationship, that personal time in His presence. And then when we come together in our meeting, we have something to bring. we bring that relationship that we have, that intimacy that we have with God, we bring that together to share corporately, communally. And the experience then is rich. Tomorrow morning, I have to travel tomorrow afternoon. However, tomorrow morning we'll still have a show. And theoretically, we'll have a show every morning this week, I believe. I think I can do that. It's going to be early, but I think I can pull it off. And one of the things that, it might have to be in the afternoon. I'm not sure how it's going to go because I actually I have a pretty early show. Not terribly early, but I do get done fairly early in the day. So we'll see how it works out. But one of these days, I'd like to do a little story. It's going to take longer than I don't have time today to talk about it. One of the best experiences I ever had in leadership. Probably the only good experience I've ever had in leadership. Come to think of it. I've had many, many opportunities to be in leadership in different situations, and not all of them have gone all that well. It's the ones who haven't gone that haven't gone well that I seem to remember the most for some reason. I'm not sure why that is, but it's the ones that went well that I remember specifically, and I'll talk about that a little bit, and what my experience was and how I have kind of made that a model for what good leadership is from when I see it, because it was really a good experience for everybody, myself, yes, but for everybody in the group. It was really, and it was just God's grace just, you know, giving us the, showing us the way. But it was a good experience. Well, folks, I do need to go because I have to get some things done today. I got to go work on the boat today. And I've got some other things I got to get done. I still haven't found out what my schedule is going to be like for next month. I have no idea. So they haven't given me any clue what I'm doing next month. Maybe I'm not doing anything. Maybe I'm fired. Well, that would be great. I might just do a 24/7 live broadcast all day long with occasional breaks here and there. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. In the meantime, I'm sure I'll find out soon. Today I should be finding out sometime, I would think. I hope. Better, because it's down to the wire now. It's less than a week away till next month. So, yeah. I'll be spending some time on the boat today. And I'll be thinking of all of you. Not, probably. I don't know. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Pray for the nation. Pray for our leaders. We'll get through this together. All in this together in a world.